Rainmaker FM.
This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com. Welcome to The Showrunner, where we have one goal: teach you how to develop, launch, and run a remarkable show. Ready? Welcome back to The Showrunner, the podcast for people dedicated to creating remarkable audio experiences for their audience. This is episode number 86. I am your host, Jared Morris, VP of Marketing for Rainmaker Digital, and I will be joined momentarily, as I always am, I hope, by my struggling to connect to Skype co-host, Johnny Naster, the host of Hack the Entrepreneur. This episode of The Showrunner is brought to you by The Showrunner Podcasting Course. What could happen if you launch a podcast in the next 30 days? What could happen? We have a free report that will help you answer that question. Go to showrunner.fm/report to download it for free today. That's showrunner.fm/report. And we'll tell you a little bit more about this report coming up later in this episode of The Showrunner. Johnny, how's it going?
Well, I'm done struggling with Skype, so that's good.
Very nice.
Other than that, just looking at the snow, man, out my office window right now.
Are you saying the snowman or the snowman? Like Frosty the Snowman.
Snow, comma, man. Oh. I'm looking at the snow, Jared. yeah, and dreading kind of going outside. But other than that, it's going well.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, hey, we have a fun episode today. I hit you up on Slack earlier today, said, what do we want to talk about? You said nothing on the Trello board was really inspiring you. I kind of agreed. And so we decided to dig back into the archive for inspiration. And you found an episode from 2016 that jumped out at you that you basically wanted to redo for 2017.
Yeah, exactly. Actually a couple of them that I think we might revisit because...
revisit is a better word than redo. It's not like we're re-saying the same thing.
Yeah, totally. Just totally revisiting it. And actually a portion of this has actually stayed the same from last year, but I'm sure once I get into it, it'll be a different perspective of it, but I'm sticking to the same path, which right. I think is a good thing.
Okay. And obviously people saw the headline of the episode. So it's 10 tips for a better show in 2017. We'll put a link to the 2016 episode in there as well, because those tips, those thoughts, all just as valid today. But these tips are coming to you from me and Johnny, and we have another year of experience, and we're coming to you from the perspective of the shows that we run. And so we'll obviously have a bit of a different perspective on this now. And so it'll be interesting to revisit this and dish out some of these tips to you. Are you ready? Mr. Naster, I feel like since this was your idea, you should bat lead off, and we'll do what we did last year, which is basically go, you'll go one, I'll go one. We obviously can each chime in on the other person's tip if we want to.
Sure.
But no heckling allowed.
So we talked about this on Skype, but we didn't clearly sort of define how we were going to do it. It was confusing. Let's just put it this way, Jared, because I had the show notes in Google Docs still from last year, or not the show notes, but the document we used to record the show last year. And it was like 10 ways to improve your show in 2016 or something it was called. And under your name, there was like 13 things. And then and then there was a thing that says Johnny's five, and then I had five. So it was actually 18 things. And
how did I do 13?
So, I don't know, but I just deleted them now. And
all right.
So we actually had 18 things. So we've learned to count since then, which is really cool. But the way I did it, which is slightly different than I think the way you did your five this time. So just to kind of set you up what we're doing. I have my five, which are kind of like a general thing. And then I'm going to follow it up and just kind of tell you how I'm implementing this for Hack the Entrepreneur.
Very nice.
So for my top five, my first one is to set 3-month goals, which in the intro, I said that one of mine had actually stayed the same. And this is something I adopted about a year and a half ago, and it works really, really, really well for me. Sort of like sprints, where I have like a key focus for that quarter. And it's not like I map it out day to day, but I know that each week needs to get a part of it done, and then I can break that down per day if I have time to work on it that day. But it keeps me really focused on where I'm trying to go. So the 3-month goal for the first quarter of 2017 is SEO and content strategy. Because I'm not enough of an SEO expert at all, I'm just going to lump those two together. So I hope if you're an SEO person out there and you're telling me SEO and content strategy aren't the same, but to me, they're the same. I've been just kind of putting out a whole bunch of content on Hack the Entrepreneur on my Rainmaker site, and mostly audio content. And it's just been kind of all going into just a pile. And so in December leading up to this, I kind of went through Pamela Wilson's new book, which I can't remember what it's called, but we will link to it. And it's the content strategy book. You have it right behind you probably. And I just saw how to map it out. I broke it into categories, my site, and now I've created a plan for the content I want to create for this quarter. So it's Master Content Marketing, a simple strategy to cure the blank page blues.
That's right. Pamela, I'm holding it up right here.
Yeah, it's an excellent, excellent, excellent book. And so that's my big focus. So I'm fully in every project, even in my personal life that I take on. I like to work in the quarters. I think it's a really smart way for you to kind of head into things. It's overwhelming, that whole 1 year. So I keep set goals to 3 months. And this first 3 months is my SEO and content strategy.
I like that. I like that a lot. It's interesting because I think the format and the context of your show can sometimes help you determine what accurate time frames are. Like, for instance, with the assembly call, I always think in terms of off season and in season, because they're so totally different. Just the demands on time and the availability to make improvements and do different things. So, it's basically there's kind of like 6 months on one, 6 months on the other. And that's just what makes sense for that show. I think more people's shows are like yours, so more people will be able to do those 3-month sprints, which I think is a really great way to make sure that you're making meaningful progress forward.
See, in the way I would do it, Jared, I would think about it as in 2 sprints per season or off season for you. On season, obviously, it's hard because you kind of just have to get the season done. But off season, I would break it into 2 sprints because to me, 6 months is like you can put stuff off too long. Because put it off till the second quarter, because you're like, well, I still have 6 months. Oh, I have 5 months. But this way, it's like, no, I only have 3 months, 2 months, 1 month to get this half done.
Kind of break it up like, here's what has to happen this off season, and then break it up into 2 sprints. That's a good idea.
Yeah, and that way you're not, otherwise it just seems like the last month you're just frantically trying to get 6 months worth of stuff done. Like, or at least that's how I work.
No, I like that. Like, for instance, I know one of my goals this off season is going to be to reach out individually to all the radio stations in Indiana and try and market our radio show to people. So like that could be something for the first 3 months. And then the second 3 months could be the normal, okay, we need to improve systems. Let's see if there's a replacement for Google Hangouts yet. Like all kind of the get ready for the season type preparation. Okay, that's interesting. All right, well, I already learned something. Can we wrap?
Yeah, sure.
I'm just kidding. All right, so I took a little bit of a different tact. I actually just went through, and I didn't do this on purpose necessarily, but as I went through thinking about ways that the people listening, our dear listeners, can improve their podcast, I just started thinking in questions. And these are all questions that I've been asking myself about all of my shows. And so the first one is, what is your purpose? And your purpose as a showrunner, and what is the purpose of your show? And I don't mean your topic, I mean your purpose, right? So like the topic of Hack the Entrepreneur, for example, is entrepreneurship and getting into the mindset of really successful entrepreneurs. That's your topic, but your purpose for Hack the Entrepreneur is to empower people with mindset tools to achieve their loftiest goals. At least that's, to me, being someone who listens to your show, I think that's your purpose. You know, your purpose is, what do you enable people to do? What do you empower people to do? And your topic, your content is the vehicle through which you do that. So it's like the assembly call. Okay, we do a post-game show for IU basketball games, but our purpose is that we provide a sense of community and camaraderie among IU fans across the globe by celebrating the history of IU basketball. Because it's not just the post-game show. We do some other content like our IU Artifacts content and some of the different, you know, interviews with ex-players in the offseason. Everything we do is geared toward that history and geared toward the community. And the reason why this is important is because your topic is what will get people to listen, and your topic is probably what will get people to subscribe. But your purpose is what will get them coming back, is what will get them sharing, is what will get them to donate if you have a donation model. It's what will get them to follow you to some sort of paid product or paid membership site. And I think we should always be thinking bigger. And so, to me, really understanding what your purpose is, like, why is this person still listening to you 2 years in? What is that purpose? And understanding that subtle difference between purpose and topic, for me, is the single greatest way that I have found in any moment of overwhelm, boredom, you know, just kind of being tired of it or ready for something new. Going back and centering myself around that purpose always gets me back on the right track. So for the new year, if you can't clearly define that, like I was just able to say it for the assembly call, and that took me 2 seconds to write that sentence because I've known it, I've thought about it, I've digested it fully. That is something important to do for you this year, especially if you've had your show for a year, a couple years. You should be able to come up with that very simply.
I love it. I love it. My second one is consistency. So aim for and hit consistency. I publish 3 times a week on Hack the Entrepreneur now for over 2 years consistently. And I absolutely attribute that to the successes that I've had, is that consistently publishing the content when I say I'm going to. So this can tie into your goals, your 3-month goals, but make a goal of what you can reasonably consistently publish on. And so since I've kind of nailed my consistency over years now of publishing my podcasts, I'm switching it over to kind of intertwine with my 3-month goal of SEO and content. I'm starting to write and publish at least once per week on the site, like a full article or blog post. I say minimum once per week because once I have a couple of things I'm working on getting going, and then it probably will move to 2 per week, but I will never get less than every single Monday. I will publish an article along with a podcast episode that day. This is something I didn't do consistently last year, and my audience and I guess just my website and just, I guess, traffic in that sense, I guess, didn't grow the way I wanted it to because of that inconsistency. So find your publishing schedule that is consistent for you and stick to it. I can't tell you what's going to work for you. Be like honest with yourself, what you can reasonably do. I'm doing 3 episodes a week and now 1 article, but whatever it is you can do, do it and do it consistently, and you will see huge returns over time.
Is this in addition to what you're doing with your email newsletter?
Yes. This is actual, like, based on Pamela's book again, with like a content strategy for SEO purposes and getting new people from search engines rather than everybody right now basically comes from audio and from iTunes, listens to the show and then ends up on the site. Now I'm looking to sort of branch out and find more people through Pamela's content strategy.
Do you know yet what your call to action will be for those posts? Is it going to be to get people to subscribe and listen to the show or to get them on an email list?
To get them onto an email list. Today's Tuesday, we're recording this on. So yesterday was the first post that went out. It was a goal setting post and a goal setting worksheet. The call to action is a goal setting worksheet that they get to download that for the email. And then a couple days later, they go into what's called my welcome sequence, which introduces them to my book, introduces them to my top 10, gets them to subscribe to the show, all those things.
Very nice. Very nice. All right. So my second question for you, as you seek to have a better show in 2017, is how does this fit into your plans? And this is kind of a 2-part question because there's a macro answer and there's a micro answer. So in the macro sense, how does this show fit into your plans? Because if you don't understand, and this is, you know, in addition to understanding the purpose, right? And the purpose is really how you are helping your audience. But how is this show helping you? How does this fit into your plans, into your life plans, into your career plans? One thing that I'm getting a lot more focused on as I get older, as I have a family, I have a daughter now, is really trying to live intentionally so that I don't wake up 10 years and I've just drifted into this place in life that I'm at. I want to be intentional and make choices that lead me to a place that I want to go, that my wife and I and my daughter, that we want to go together. And it can be really easy if we don't understand these things for, you know, to just keep doing a show but not really know where it's going or to drift with our show. So how does it fit into your plans? And I will tell you, you know, one of the reasons why it's so important for me to understand the purpose for the assembly call is because I go through this all the time with how does this show fit into my plans? Because it doesn't necessarily fit into my career goals, you know, in any way. It never has. Like, it just started on a whim and has just steadily grown. And so I've had to constantly figure out and reconfigure where does this fit? And at the point where I don't know where it fits, it may be time to walk away from that show, even given how great the purpose is. And so that's something I'm constantly thinking about. And my ability to recharge that answer is what allows me to keep going forward and keep moving that show forward. But this also fits in a micro sense, because let's say, Johnny, take your blog post, for example. Like, let's say that you just woke up one day, you read on some blog about growing a podcast, hey, you should write a blog post every week. And so you just start doing it without really thinking, right? And you don't really understand where that fits in. Well, number one, your momentum to continue doing it is probably going to fade, and your content probably isn't going to fit really what it needs to. And this is going to end up just kind of being empty work that may not have anything to show for it. But if you really understand how this particular blog post fits into the bigger picture of this show and how the bigger picture of this show fits into the bigger picture of your life, well, now everything is going in the same direction. And that's so important to understand. Like with the assembly call, we realized that doing previews of games was kind of fun and got us a little bit of traffic, but it didn't really fit. You know, a preview is not the same as a post game. And preview is looking ahead, not looking back. We look at the history, not ahead. So that didn't fit into our show, into what we're doing. And so obviously, we know that time is valuable, our effort is valuable, our attention is valuable, so we cannot waste it on things that aren't moving us toward a goal, something, a direction that we understand that we want to go in. So ask yourself about the big picture of your show and about all the little things that go into producing your show. How does this fit into the bigger picture? And if you don't know, let that be an alarm bell that you better be able to answer that and figure that out, or you may not want to be doing it anymore.
Interesting how closely that one ties into, well, I guess to my first two, even the fact that I've just been producing content and didn't know what it was. I knew what it was supposed to do is that it was supposed to bring people to my site and get them onto an email list, but not in a sort of systematized way, like not in the way that Pamela has laid out and that whole strategy around the content. Yeah. That's cool.
Hey,
so this one's,
hey, before you do number five, real quick, can I interject here?
And
number five total. But I would like for you, because really the next one should be, if people want a better show in 2017, if they haven't yet, they should go download the free report.
Yes.
Where might they do that?
They would go to showrunner.fm/report. showrunner.fm/report.
And what all does that report have in it? It's called The Beginner's Guide to Launching a Remarkable Podcast. It's simple.
Yeah,
it's no frills. It's 9 steps. And what are some of those steps?
You're going to define, or how to define your audience of one, and pick that crucial format for your show and then stick to it. You're going to learn our 6 paths to podcast monetization. And then we take you sort of behind the curtains and lay out the exact equipment that Jared and I use to each run our podcasts. We don't always talk about the technical side and the microphones and the mixers and stuff that we use, but in the report you get there's links to the Amazon page actually for the stuff that we actually use. So it's kind of a nice, fun peek behind the curtains. But yeah, you can get your free 9-step beginner's guide to launching a podcast. Go to showrunner.fm/report. Funny thing, Jared, I didn't realize how sick I actually sound. You mentioned it before we started, and now I can't stop thinking about how plugged up I sound.
Dang it.
And I don't feel it at all. I can totally breathe, but I feel like I'm talking really nasally and
so odd. two important points here. Number one, John and I are obviously friends and we're close, and so I feel like I can say that to him if I feel it. However, if you're going to do an interview, maybe with someone that you don't know, maybe you don't say that to him right before the interview, so you don't get him off track.
You sound sick. But it's, I guess, because I haven't been talking this much all day. So now I'm noticing it. But yeah, it's interesting.
And I also wanted to let people know just the mindset behind why I wanted to interrupt you right there to make sure we got our call to action in. So I was looking at the time and we were at about the 17-minute mark. And I think we know just from different studies that have come out that, you know, the average podcast listen is about 18 to 22 minutes. If it's a, like people say, that's kind of like the ideal amount, you know, the ideal length for a podcast. And I will say, like, I actually go through and I track every single episode of the Assembly Call. I have a spreadsheet. I put them in by hand. I put my data in by hand just because I like knowing it. And so putting it in by hand, it's kind of fun. And it allows me to know my numbers intimately. And almost every single episode of the Assembly Call, the average listen time is between 16 to 23, 24 minutes, somewhere in that range. And so what that means is if you have a message that you really want to get out or you have a call to action, you definitely want to get it in, you know, sometime before the 20-minute mark. And so that's why I wanted to stop right there and let people know and also obviously let them know what the mindset is behind that. So as you're hosting your show, you should kind of have a clock in your head if you're not actually looking at an actual clock like we are here with Skype to understand, you know, what the time is. So if you have to get that specific message in, that's about the time you want to do it.
Well done. Now on to number five.
Yes.
For those of you still listening beyond the 18-minute mark.
Yeah. This one's the diehards. The diehards are still here.
This one's a bit nerdy, but something I've started doing this month, and because I have some friends who are doing it, and it's helping my show a ton. It's time tracking. Literally, like, not using the Pomodoro technique of like working for 25 minutes, but literally just toggle, T-O-G-G-L. You can get it on your phone. I haven't done that because I'm trying to stay off my phone more, thanks to Jared's excellent copy blogger post. But I have it on my desktop. It's completely free. It's running right now. As of right now, I've been working on Showrunner for 53 minutes and 28 seconds in this last burst. And it really focuses me into a shorter time span of work. So yesterday I accomplished a ton and I tracked all my time. I felt like I worked all day and I worked for 4 hours and I think it was like 42 minutes. Which was awesome. I didn't have lunch though or anything, but it was just, it was cool. And I was like, man, I got so much done. So it felt even better because I accomplished it in less than 8 hours. So I think it'll be really useful for everyone's podcasts. If you only have so much time, if you only have 1 hour or 3 hours or 5 hours per week, this will allow you to, when that toggle's running in my corner, You don't waste time on Facebook. You don't hang out on Twitter doing nothing. You're working, getting the things done that need to get done on your show right now because you're so aware of the time. So it's a bit nerdy, time tracking, but it's absolutely free to use. And I 100% suggest it for 2017.
Trust me, if people are listening to a podcast dedicated to podcasting, they're into nerdy podcasting talk. So there's not a problem there. All right. So for my third question, and this may be a difficult one to answer, but it's where are you vulnerable? All right. So let me give you a few examples from the Assembly Call that might help illustrate this. Okay. Where are you vulnerable? So we use Google Hangouts to record our podcast. And the reason why we do that is because the live component of it is very important. And in fact, the live video component of it is very important now that it's being broadcast at a bar in Bloomington. Every off-season, I scour the web to try and find some replacement for Google Hangouts because, you know, sometimes it doesn't work right. We've had issues with it at least once or twice a season. It interrupts us in the middle of a show, knock on wood. That hasn't happened yet, and hopefully it won't. But I feel a constant sense of vulnerability around Hangouts, especially since they're not really, you know, I mean, they're still supported by Google, but it's not like they're really improving them. So that constantly makes me nervous. So I feel very vulnerable there. Where are you vulnerable in terms of time? Well, we send our post-game analysis email out after every game. It's a big reason why people get on our newsletter. But that email takes me an hour to an hour and a half to put together after every game. That time adds up. And the team has a lot of 8 o'clock games this year. So that means I'm up till midnight, 1 o'clock doing that, which when I was single wasn't a big deal. When it was just Heather and I, Heather and me wasn't a big deal. Now that I have a daughter, a little bit bigger deal because my time is more valuable. So I'm vulnerable in the sense that this has been built in as a value proposition of the show. I've got to figure out a way to reduce that time or find someone else who can do it because that's just not sustainable. You can also be vulnerable to a competitor. So for the longest time, there wasn't another show about Indiana basketball that would show up in podcast feeds the day after, the morning after a game. Now there is. One of the competitor sites has started doing one. It's not a post-game show just like ours, but it comes out an hour or two later the morning after. And so it's something else in there for people to listen to during that drive to work when a lot of people listen to our show. How can we make sure that they're still choosing us, not this competitor? And so, you know, you can take a snapshot of your vulnerability at any one time, and it's going to be different, or it could be different 3 months from now, 6 months from now. So I always try to look at this on an annual basis at an absolute minimum, these areas of vulnerability. And again, you know, the first few that came to my head were technology, time, and competitors. If you really sit down and think about this, you will probably think of a lot of others. But I think this is always a good exercise to go through, because the status that you have right now, the space that your show occupies right now in the market, in the minds of your audience, in terms of the priority level, that can change at any moment. And so we always need to try and be ahead of that change so that we can position ourselves to either stay where we are or improve our position. Because if we don't focus on it, then it's almost inevitable that we will fade back into the background without it, without even knowing that it's happening.
Yes.
Where are you vulnerable?
I'm working on my vulnerability.
Open up, Johnny. It's just us. We stopped recording after the call to action.
Okay, step number four. Oh, no, step number seven. Seven?
Four for you. Yeah, seven, yeah, overall. Okay.
I didn't realize we were doing it that way. It's funny, actually, now that I'm going through these again, I'm seeing that 3 month theme is kind of coming back to me. But creating remarkable experiences beyond the headphones. We talked about this last episode, the one podcast, one audience, one topic, how I've sort of made that switch, and between thinking of Hack the Entrepreneur as one podcast and actually focusing onto the audience. And so this is what we're actually doing right now at showrunner.fm/report. It's an experience we're looking to take you into, I think, just focusing beyond just audio. Like, we can find you and we can create that experience through audio, but there's other ways that all of us like to learn and consume content. So I think the idea of figuring out your site, figuring out content on your site, and then figuring out email automation is how I'm doing it. And using email to deepen that relationship with your audience, the audience that you've found through your podcast, but now creating that remarkable experience and taking it further. I think I've always thought of it as email automation and sending emails, but not so much as creating the remarkable experience that we've always focused on in the audio side of it, and bringing that over to the text or email side of it. So I think if you do that and you think of that remarkable experience across everywhere that you interact with your audience, I think 2017 will be a much better year for you and your show.
You know, it just dawned on me that the next time we need a topic, we can just pull any of these individual topics from this episode, and it could be its own episode.
That's why, like, my first two started off so long, but I'm like, now I got to get these shorter because we're going to end up with a 2-hour episode here.
I know.
But they are definitely topics.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, so my next one, and this, again, kind of as yours just did, it reflects on an episode that we did recently. But the fourth question, from my perspective, is what can you systematize? So this kind of gets back there to the last question in terms of vulnerabilities and time. This will help you save time, but really look closely, look harshly at what you're doing and figure out what you can systematize, whether that is creating text expanders for blog post templates, whether that is hiring an editor to help do your editing for you, whatever it is. What can you systematize? What can you make take less time to get the same or even a better result. Because what you often find about systematizing is that you actually end up getting an improved result because you go with the best practice as opposed to trying reinventing it every time, where, yes, it may be better this time, but it may get worse the next time because you're just a little bit lazier, you're not feeling quite as inspired, you know, whatever it is. So what can you systematize? Really think closely about it and put some plans into action. And then if you constantly have this thought of what can I systematize, you'll be looking to systematize new things and improve your systems for old things. And that will help save you time, which then gives you more time to either invest in your audience or invest in the things away from your show, which sometimes is just as important as investing in your show. Because if you're not, you know, watering the flowers that aren't in your show, that's a really bad metaphor that I just made up on the spot.
I wasn't going to say anything.
That was awful. Okay, but you get the point. if you let the things outside of your show just crumble and fall, well, that's eventually going to leak into your show. So that time can be used for whatever you need it to be used for, but it'll improve your show and your longevity in the long run.
That was amazing. If you don't water the flowers outside of your show, this is number five for me. If you don't water the flowers outside of your show, they will leak in to your show.
You know, like right in the middle of that, I realized it wasn't going anywhere, but the words were already out. So
I was like, should I let this slide? I should probably let this slide, but you didn't. So, all right. Number nine total is to, this goes back again, three episodes, I believe now, or two episodes where you talked about this, Jared, which is to get out and meet your audience. So I'm planning to have a couple or several meetups for my audience this year. It's something I've never done outside of having coffee with listeners while I've been on road trips. But I think that, again, it takes that remarkable experience beyond the headphones and even beyond email and just content to actually personalizing the experience, but also really getting to understand what it is, like what your purpose is, as you were saying, Jared, how you know so well your purpose now for the assembly call because you've met those people in person on numerous occasions now. So I would really urge you to, if you have any way to meet even one listener or several at a time, but try your best to get out, or if you want to do it over Skype, because you don't live in a location where you can meet up with other people, then just make that effort to reach out and meet your audience one-on-one or in a group setting to really, again, deepen that level of understanding of your audience of one that we talk about by personally talking to some people from that audience. And it'll give you a better understanding of everyone who is out there listening.
It's interesting. So we came up with these lists individually, but the fifth one for both of us is pretty similar. So my fifth and final question is, who can you develop relationships with that will take your show to the next level? And examples of relationships that you could develop are with audience members, with other content creators, with fellow podcasters, with potential guests. But who will help you take your show to the next level? So it's pretty easy to see how that will work with an audience member, Johnny. I think you just explained that quite well. But it's also important to reach out and develop relationships with other content creators, because you'll get ideas. You'll be able to share each other's content and introduce their content to your audience and your content to their their audience, which can be important. It's important especially to meet up with fellow podcasters, because you can support each other. Again, you can share content together. You can share tips. You can share ideas. That's very important. Same thing with potential guests. So there's a show that my wife and I both listen to. It's a podcast called Think, and it's actually a radio show here in Dallas, an NPR show on KERA, which is the NPR station. I highly recommend everybody go get the show. It's great. There's always two episodes every day. It's an interview that the host, Chris Boyd, does with all kinds of fascinating people. And my wife and I found the show. We love it. We always end up talking about the show, discussing the topics. And I thought, well, shoot, I love the way that she interviews people. Why don't I just reach out to her and see if she wants to talk about podcasting? And so sent her an email. She emailed me back within an hour. And I'm going to be doing an interview with her on February 1st that we will then bring you on the Showrunner. And, you know, just kind of on a whim, decided, hey, let me go kind of develop this relationship. And now it's going to turn into an interview. And, you know, who knows? I mean, she lives here in Dallas. You know, that could be something that goes further than that, because she's a, you know, a great content creator. So, you know, who are those? And don't underestimate the power of your podcast to be the perfect introduction. Because I could have emailed her and asked her questions, but there's something a little bit more powerful about saying, hey, I host a podcast called The Showrunner. I want to talk with you specifically about, you know, your interview style and how you come up with questions. You know, and even in her first reply, it was, oh, you know, yeah, that'd be really interesting to talk. I've never really thought about it in terms of his podcasting before. And so I think that perspective will be really interesting. And it was different, I think, than other emails that she's gotten. So your podcast can be that door opener for you. And so just think about who can you develop relationships with that will take your show to the next level? Because ultimately, you can only take your show so far. You really can. And then it's going to be about who you develop relationships with that can help spread the word, that can come and help you create better content, that can help you become a better showrunner. That is what is going to ultimately prove to determine the ceiling of your show. So give your show the greatest, the biggest potential ceiling by developing as many meaningful, useful relationships as you can. So ask yourself that question. Who can you develop relationships with that will take your show to the next level?
This has been fun.
This has been fun. It always is. I love these topics.
Mm-hmm. Me too. I'm going to have to take some of these out too and put them on Trello so we have them.
Yeah.
I should have just added that. That's number 11. Use Trello to organize yourself.
Yes.
Hey, so good.
By the way, you know, it would be really interesting. Send us a tweet at Jared Morris, at John Naster. If there are any of these individual topics that we just discussed that you would like to see broken out into a full episode, let us know which one or which ones, because we'll be happy to do it. And there's plenty more to say about all of them. But we'd love to know. And if you would love to talk more about the danger of just trying to come up with metaphors on the spot while recording, be happy to do an entire episode about that as well. We could water those flowers all day long.
But until then, get your free 9-step beginner's guide to launching a podcast. Go to showrunner.fm/report. We put a lot of work into this thing. It looks awesome. Actually, we just gave it away. James Altucher has that Altucher report, and I was interviewed in there. And I gave it away through there to readers of the, it's like a paid newsletter or something. And yeah, the feedback's been awesome. People are like, this shouldn't be free. Mostly because Rafal did the graphic design work on it, and it looks so awesome. It's totally worth it. So yeah, check it out, showrunner.fm/report.
Absolutely. And then come back here, join us for another brand new episode next week. We'll be here. We'll have something fun to talk about. And we look forward to meeting up with you then.
Take care.
Wow, we actually 36. I thought we were going to go way over.
I thought so too.
Not terrible.
No, it's not terrible. That's what you want to end a show on. That's not terrible.
Well, no, I think the episode was great. The discussion was, I thought it was really good. The audience can let us know. But I just mean, I thought we were going to go like 30 minutes over. 7 minutes. That's not terrible.
That wasn't terrible.
No, that's not terrible.
Yeah, that's cool. That was good.